Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee, and we are in the book of Acts, and this context is verses 16 through 32. So this is Gilbert from Red Bluff.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Landon from Camas, Washington.
And who's going to read that? 16 to 34.
I'll read that, Gilbert. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he beheld the city full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with them that happened along, and certain also of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him. And some said, "What would this babbler say?" Others, "He seems to be a setter forth of strange demons, because he preached the gospel of Jesus and the resurrection." And they took hold of him and brought him unto the Areopagus, saying, "Can we know what this new teaching is, which is spoken by thee? For thou bringest certain strange things to our hearing. We would know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the sojourning strangers spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or hear something rather new. And Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, and all things, I perceive that you are rather religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To God unknown.' What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I set forth to you. The God that made the world and all things therein, he being Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is he served by men's hands, as if he needed anything, he himself giving to all life and breath and all things. And he made of one every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek God, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain even of our own poets have said, 'For we are also his offspring.' Being then the offspring of God, we ought not to think the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and device of man. The times of ignorance, therefore, God overlooked, but now declares to men that they should all everywhere repent, inasmuch as he has appointed a day in which he will judge the inhabited earth in righteousness by a man whom he hath ordained, having given assurance to all in that he had raised him from the dead. Now when they heard of a resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, 'We will hear thee concerning this again.' Thus Paul went out from their midst, but certain men clave to him and believed, among whom also Dionysus the Areopagite, and a woman, Damaris by name, and others with them."
Landon has something. What'd you see in that, Landon?
So in 16 it says, "Now while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing a city full of idols." And then in 23 it says, "For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown god. Does this mean, like, it's an umbrella god, just in case they missed anything, or?
That's the way a man of God explained it to us years ago. They had a god of the river, the god of rain, the god of thunder.
In case we missed
one. Yeah, just in case we forgot
the
one.
The unknown god was et cetera, the god of et cetera, anything like it. But you know what's interesting? Going back to verse 16, that Paul's spirit was provoked within him because the city was full of idols. There's things that go with idols. They're called demons. Later on, that term is actually found in the scriptures in this one.
But in verse 18.
But it says also in 17, I think it's 22, it says, you are rather religious. And that word is God-demoned. In other words, they worship these God demons, small g gods. God demonoterus. It's a long word. It's about a 20-letter word.
This says in 21, now all the Athens and the strangers visiting there used to spend their time in nothing other than telling or hearing something new. So they were learning something.
But the thing is they were just, what's the latest thing, you know, the latest buzz. That's what TV does and radio does. It's always talking about the new discoveries.
The newest trends and the newest information.
Well, they even think now that Alzheimer's dementia is actually sugar diabetes or diabetes 3.
I heard that on the news the other day.
I was just
watching a show and I went, really? Now it's diabetes?
It actually could be.
Well, my mom had that. I mean, that's just...
We're addicted to sugar. Well, you can get it in a lot of carbs. Carbs are really not the best things for us, you know, if you get overload on them. But I want to go back to this verse 1. His spirit was provoked within him. These demons can provoke people that have discernment. And by the way, animals can see things that are unseen. There are things visible. God created things visible and invisible, right? We've read about that before. And so there's invisible things going on.
Yeah, like dogs are, we've noticed dogs can be sensitive to certain things that we—
All of a sudden your dog runs to a certain place and barks.
Or growls at a corner.
Yeah.
Or maybe somebody else walks up. And the dog just, normally dog's really nice, but that, well, for whatever reason, that dog does not like that person.
He does not want him in your house, and the lady lets him in, and she gets murdered.
Right.
How many times, or they get robbed, and the dog saw something, and they didn't see it? Because we're fallen. We've lost. Dogs haven't fallen. Creation hasn't fallen. It has fallen because of us. But man has fallen. And so dogs still have an ability to see unseen things where man has totally lost that eyesight called eideo, E-I-D-E-O, eyesight. We have blepo, eyesight, we can see physical things. We have theorio, we can see theories or ideas of things, but we can't see the spiritual. We lost that. We can regain it in the Lord. So that, I just wanted to bring that one out. So... their reasoning in the synagogue. What else, Andy? What did you see?
Now, that is really interesting what you said. I have never considered that animals didn't do anything wrong, and they can sense things. They sense it. Isn't that an interesting dynamic?
They can see the invisible.
They can see the invisible. I had never thought of it like that.
I was thinking about this the other day.
Now, I'm not just talking about scent, like smell.
Yeah.
I mean— they sense things, yes.
Spirit.
Yes,
realms.
They do.
I've seen their hair stand on end on animals when they sense these. The word in 22, this religious, is desidemoneteros, to actually spell it out. About a 20-letter word.
Now, I cut that word into a couple pieces because it is a mixture word. A long time ago, and I came to something really simple. Now, I'll test it out here. The people worship what they fear. They fear them. They revere demons. And so that's what they worship. Well, and they were aware of them.
Well, they treat him like a deity. That's that first word, DC. Yeah. Demon, steros. So they're on steroids.
So in the old days, people, back here, they believed in these unclean spirits, demons, because they believed in them. And this society now, we turn that all into some sort of mental problem.
This came out of Paul's mouth. He's calling what they're worshiping demon gods. That's what Paul, he says, I perceive you're rather demon god oriented. You put them on steroids.
So when man was created, they had the Holy Spirit. But when they ate the fruit of the tree, they lost that. But animals never ate of the fruit of the tree. Did that mean they are somehow connected to the Holy Spirit?
No. That's a great question, Landon. We are the only creation that God says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. There is not a place. Some people call animals spirited. That's something that I was talking to a young lady, and she said, well, the Bible says that something about it. And I said, I have never seen the Holy Spirit connected with an animal. I've never seen that where it's in an animal. And I went back and checked it. I'm one of those that I decided if I'm going to study something like within, take my yoke within you, the Greek word F, an argument arose out of it. So I took my Bible and I took my Panons, every place F, E-P-H is found in the Bible, it's a preposition, it shows relationship, that the Holy Spirit is within us. In is E-N, ain, upon is epi. And I wanted to look at the difference between epi, upon, and F. And you remember that argument that came out.
Sure.
And somebody was definitely trying to prove what Ray told us years ago, that F is different. It means within. And so I decided to be a Berean and prove Ray right. So I started right from the beginning of my Panons, and this is the one right here. And I decided to circle it and look at it, each one in its context, and it's within. It cannot be upon in some places. It just absolutely cannot. Like within this time, you know, within this time, not upon this time, but within this time here and this time here, and on and on and on and on. So I decided to look at it that way. And I did that in that.
Now, so what he was talking about, Lana was talking about a minute ago, tell that one part, Gil, about the animal that was riding. The guy was riding his animal, and this animal turned around. And
yeah, I'll get to that. Just one second. Let me just finish this one thing. So I did the same thing because this came out, because this one person thought that animals had spirit, because they say that this animal is spirited. They use that term. But that means that they've got a lot of spunk. They just call it that. It doesn't mean they have a spirit. We have, it says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Animals have souls or minds, and they have flesh. They do not have spirit, soul, and mind. We have a heart or a spirit. He sent a spirit into our heart. I'm getting just a little technical here, but just bear with me, please. Spirit. He sent a spirit into our heart. So those same terms, spirit and heart, are talking about the same part of man, the very heart of man and the spirit. And the next part is used two words, to the soul, or our mind is interchangeably, and our flesh or our body, soma or sarcos, I think it is. Anyway, the body and the flesh are one thing, but it never says that an animal has heart or spirit. And we are the only creation that is created in God's image and likeness. Now, with animals, what's really interesting, God gives us some of these little crazy stories that you read about Balaam, his donkey talking to him, is actually a view into what really is reality. It's a view beyond the veil. It's a view to things that are hidden from people. But animals have a language. And they can communicate with us if we just listen to them. People that Like my dad was like a horse whisperer, and there's that guy called a horse whisperer. They are really people. I know one. I grew up with my dad. He was one. He knew what they were saying, but only to a point. But God, along the way, do you remember the story about Balaam? He was on a donkey, and he was being hired. Money came into issue, you know, whether you're going to do God's will or you want the money. Well, Balaam decided he was going to work for money and ignore God, which caused his death. He put money above God. And God tried to stop him from doing this. So his donkey saw the angel with the sword that was invisible. The donkey saw that. But Balaam, the supposed prophet that was supposed to be able to see it, he didn't have a clue. He was blind. And that's the way men prophets today, all these prophets are a bunch of blind people. And only a prophet from God can see beyond the veil. They can see the invisible. So the donkey could see something Balaam couldn't see. It's a story in the Bible. And God didn't say he gave him a mind. He didn't say he gave them an extraordinary ability to communicate. It just says he opened his mouth. He gave him an ability to communicate with a man in his language. So the donkey actually talked to him in that language that he was probably Hebrew. And the donkey told him in the Hebrew language, I'm guessing what language it was, or Aramaic, not to go because there's an angel with a sword and you're going to die. And he was going to actually lose his life if that donkey, went any further. So Balaam could talk to the donkey, but all of a sudden God opened the donkey's mouth and he says, haven't I been your beast of burden ever since I was young? And when have I done you wrong?
So he had memory.
And he was raising
him. Memory wasn't just today. He remembered how long he'd been owned by the man.
And don't you know your animals know, your dog knows you. He knows your history. Your cat knows you. If you got a gerbil or a crow, crows, they're really smart. They will know you. They might talk to their buddies about Brett and go, and then to their little
don't
babies.
Like Brett.
Yeah, don't, because he threw a rock at me, And then in their little rookery that they raised their young for 2 years, they talked to their little babies, cheep, 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 cheep. It's all right. Don't worry.
Talk.
Yeah, sweet talk to their little fledgling birds. And amongst themselves, they have a whole different talk. But if they don't like you and if you do something mean to them, they will tell all the rest about you.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. I remember one time I was at my job. I'd bring a muffin into work. I wouldn't finish the muffin, but I'd see a crow up on the top of the building, and he's just looking at me. So I crush some of the muffin, throw it out on the ground, and I just walk away in hopes that he would, see this little meal. And he did. I'd see him jumping down. I did that for like a week. And all of a sudden, one morning, there's two crows. And they're like,
he comes
this
at about 7:30.
Hey, Fred, there's a guy feeding us at 10:15. Meet me here.
But there's definitely something about that. Definitely.
It's interesting. Reading the Bible, you get these really interesting, neat tidbits of information. Also, it talks about God's divine nature. This context, there are things that everybody must know about God in these contexts. This is such an important that if you ever preach the gospel, you need to tell them about this scripture about Paul in Athens. And what it is in like verse 24, it talks about God who is the creator. He made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. And then another place says, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's made us. He doesn't want to live in a building. He's done with that. God made building in a thousand-year reign. That thousand-year reign, there will be a temple. And Jesus himself will be there. We will be there with him, serving him on earth. but he dwells now. His sons will be coming and going in this building, and the building maybe even could have life to it. We don't know. I know the river of life is going to come out of this building.
You know, something that's interesting too is if we look at verse 18, where it says, and some of the certain also of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him. And I'm not sure, Landon, have we talked about philosopher or philosophy? You've heard that word before?
Yeah, we haven't talked about it yet, though.
But what do you know about philosophy or that word?
It's a different idea or way of thinking.
Mm-hmm. So if you break that word down, it's philo, sophia. So philo is in fondness of sophia, as in wisdom. And this is not godly wisdom. This is earthly wisdom. So these guys here, the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, they were people who were lovers of earthly wisdom.
But it was a phileo love.
Yeah.
It's a brotherly love. So it was a love of mankind. So they wanted to know more about mankind, but from the wisdom aspect, not from the understanding aspect.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So these are people that are there in a place full of idols. And they say, what would this babbler say? So, I mean, it's a place where, you know, everybody's coming to hear or tell something new. And you got these guys that are here. And, you know, that's what they are. That's what they do.
So they were coming to learn, but they wanted to learn from man instead of coming to learn from the Bible.
Yeah.
They called a person that had that was sent by the Creator to tell him about the invisible things. They called him a babbler, and they were worshiping demon gods. But that's the way religion of the day, and do you think we have a lot of that in churches today? Religion that's really based on people's philosophies more than really God?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, all of this stuff still applies today. Different beliefs and religions and things like that are out there. And here, a city full of idols, right? So these are things that can this be found today? 100%.
Well, they had an idol to everything, and whatever they were missing, then they had the et cetera one, the unknown et cetera idol.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but like an idol, simply put, an idol is something that is put before God rather than when God puts somebody first.
Of the Ten Commandments is right there at the top of what not to do.
Right.
Of the Ten Commandments.
So a city where God is obviously not first. All these other things are there.
So in 23, it says, to an unknown God. Is that Yahweh in the pendant? Or what is it labeled as?
I don't know. It could be like a theos. Let's see. What verse are you in?
23.
It's theo agnosto.
A God, no God?
Yeah, you know, you have God, agnosis, no God. Gnosis. Okay, let's start at the root. Gnosis is to know, our word to know. You know, like you know your wife, and God says that we're to know God, and he's not talking in a weird way, but you do a lot of talking with your wife. You know, if you are one, you know each other. I knew a lot about Carol Lee, and we are to do the same with God. We're to spend time with him. And awe, you add awe in front of it, is without knowledge. And they were the ones that did not know God. To God, unknown to them, is what that's really saying. That's another way of saying it. To theo,
agnosto. If we missed anything.
Yeah.
They didn't even know if they missed it, but they just in case.
You know, in my penance, that's the only word there. He asked me the question, and I happen to have the word written underneath it in the Greek. Oh. That I wrote. So good. You took that on key because you didn't ask me something I didn't have a note for. So good job, Landon.
And here it says in verse 21, now all of the Athenians and the sojourning strangers, the traveling people around there, spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something rather new.
Sounds like Oprah Winfrey.
They weren't interested in anything. They just wanted to talk about stuff and hear about new stuff.
Sounds like to talk.
It does.
Sounds like all those yakky yak shows. And what percentage
What percentage?
Of truth usually comes out of those shows. It's kind of close to zero, I would say. It's a lot of feelings, a lot of man's ideas, but you don't really hear anything. I never heard a Bible verse said once in those.
In which shows?
The Talk, The View.
Oh,
the
that's...
Oprah Winfrey, on and on.
It is on and on.
A lot of emotionally based.
Even the conservatives that are Christian based, very little about God. The only one I ever really heard was Glenn Beck actually start like he's seeking for the Holy Spirit on air. I would not have thought of him as to doing that. I almost like to contact him. Glenn, if you're ever listening to this radio show, give me a call. Anyway, 480-205-3346. But I hear he has an earnest interest in finding the Holy Spirit.
He's seeking.
I think he's a seeker. Hmm. But we are to keep seeking and keep knocking. That's what it says. It's in the present tense. Keep going till you find it.
And Glenn, keep asking.
Yes, Glenn, you keep coming. But I rarely hear that. I hear a lot of boastful stuff, and they're right on everything. And I think if people would learn to be more humble and kind to one another, they get their message across. And then you have another group of people that just have nothing but hatred and anger coming out of their mouths. Today, it's very not righteousness, peace, and joy. It is wickedness, war, and anger.
So in verse 21, it says, "Now all Athens and strangers visiting there used to spend their time in nothing other than telling or hearing something new." The way you guys were talking about earlier, it sounded like you're coming to hear new things about men instead of God.
Exactly. They were all twisted around wrong. Actually, all the answers are with the King of the universe, the King, the Creator.
The Father.
The King of the heavens, Jesus. The King of the kingdom of the heavens is Jesus. And Jesus, all things came. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. And verse 14, and all things were created by him, by Jesus. People need to use his name, Jesus.
So to piggyback off what you were talking about, Landon, who saw all this? Like, who was looking around and noticing all these things and knowing that these people were spending their time hearing about something new, to coming to tell or hear something new?
Paul.
That was Paul. So that's why God sent Paul to Athens.
You know, the first thing that he did is listen to people, get to know them. And that reminds me of Ray, this gentleman that started us years ago. He would truly get to know us and do a lot of listening first. And then he'd start talking to us like Paul did. Think of all the listening he did at first and the reading, and then he started talking. Talking about talking, we're at the end of our talking. And thank you for joining us. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."